can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. You can go your own way.
Craig Scheman, Pete Shepard, Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for joining us. We've got the NBA trade deadline 24 hours from now. How about that?
It's a madhouse.
It is a madhouse. There are some deals here and there. We'll recap them in a little bit. We'll have Rick Kamla from NBA TV on tomorrow, right after the trade deadline. And then on Friday, the voice of the Lakers, John Ireland, will be on the program because the Lakers are ground zero for all this that is going on. Got blown out by 42 last night by the Pacers. They're on to Boston tomorrow. And then we'll talk to them before their next game against the Philadelphia 76ers. So we got all that going on. Our Twin Peaks Twitter poll.
Yeah,
is we got four questions for you, four big questions for you today. Let's get some responses.
All right. Again, at 99.3 ESPN Radio, did you watch State of the Union last night? A bunch of votes. 63% said no. 37% yes. Is universal DH a good idea? 83% thus far, yes. Is a three-batter minimum for MLB pitchers a good idea? 58% say no.
Ooh.
Surprising.
Yes.
And is LeBron a good teammate? 85% say no.
How many?
85% no.
85% say no, bad teammate.
A small sample size, only 120 votes.
Yeah, we just put it out.
We're starting to... that's very, very interesting. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. Let's see. Oh, I want to invite all of you to go to Facebook. You can check us out every day around noon for Facebook Live. It's still up there. Would like you to like it, if you could, and help out the Scheman and Shepard Show. That'd be great at 99.3 ESPN. So we're doing that a lot, too. A lot of social media.
Some of the responses on Twitter are pretty funny with our Twitter polls. Adam tweeting at us as a Reds fan, and he puts NL in parentheses.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thanks, yeah. Adam. Yeah. And baseball traditionalist, the DH is the dumbest thing ever. Keep baseball pure.
I wonder if he's over 60. I don't say this like a smart aleck. I wonder if he is over 60 years of age.
It doesn't look like it.
No.
Just by his Twitter handle.
He's on social media.
I don't understand the fascination of, well, oh, yeah, because the pitcher might... It's just not as exciting. I'm sorry.
Some pitchers like Bumgarner can hit, you know.
Yeah, some pitchers can hit. But, again, you're seeing him every 5 days and basically going on bunt or K every time up. Not put the ball in play. And people are just some are just as a small minority out there obsessed with double switches.
And CJ says, can't keep catering to the occasional fan, in quotations. Yes, the game wants to be more watchable for viewers, but this would just eliminating exciting matchups, talking about the three facing three consecutive batters. Imagine not seeing Andrew Miller versus insert dominant lefty here because the guy on the mound has only faced two hitters.
I know there's pros and cons.
It's going to be a harder one to negotiate.
It's pros and cons, but I still like it. They got to speed up the game somehow. They have to. There's no doubt the younger audiences is not there. That's plain and simple.
I
hate
it.
Kids aren't playing as much at a young age, and kids are not watching. At all.
I really dislike when I watch a game, whether it's the Tigers or whether it's anybody else in the World Series. I get frustrated when we go to commercial break for a pitching change. Guy comes in for one hitter, sometimes one pitch.
One pitch.
Then another pitching change and another commercial break. I mean, 9 minutes could go by in between two outs, and I don't like it. I get very bored, and I like baseball.
Me too.
So,
see, I think, who was it last year? Was it the Indians that had a handful of games start at 6:05?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to change the game to get young. The problem with a game that starts at 7 o'clock, you're not able to get the kid.
The teenager going to junior high?
The I'd say even younger than the teenager.
Now you can't. Back when we were kids, that's when it was. It didn't matter. But wasn't
when the game
like
ends,
this. Balls when, were in play. It
when
wasn't
the game
chaos.
Ends at 10:30, it's tough for me to hang around, let alone a kid who's got, you know, you look at what time high school start in Southwest Florida. Like, they got to be at the bus at like 5 a.m.
But most of the games end at 3 hours. Most of the games around 10. around 3 hour
But that's
games.
What I'm saying, though, is if you started at 6, you don't have to change anything. Mm. That's ending the game at 9 o'clock where somebody can catch the end of the game.
It's bad enough traffic-wise, you can't.
If you start at 6, you can't get off work and get there in time. That's the front end of the problem.
We always talk about how the in-stadium viewer doesn't matter. It's the TV ratings. If your TV ratings are good, the people with butts in the seats at the stadium do not matter.
Yeah, but it does to
buy beer though.
It does to some of the owners.
$9 a glass.
If you're talking about Boston, peanuts. Los Angeles, Philadelphia, New York, try to get to the Bronx at 6 o'clock. It does make it. It's impossible. I mean, they don't want to see empty seats in the stadium on TV. It doesn't look good.
Well, the Yankees have that problem anyway.
Well, it's $2,000 seats
in their front seat. You're right.
Right. So, but I think as opposed to messing with the actual game, there are different ways to make it more accessible to the younger viewers. Sunday Night Baseball did it last year. So let's go back to a traditional doubleheader on Saturdays, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that fix a lot?
Yeah. Well,
you could
Saturdays
shorten
first.
The actual length of the
they
season.
They won't do it. They won't do it. The union will not approve it.
Go to a true doubleheader.
They used to be scheduled on Sundays all the time. Two or three a year. Used to be scheduled for every team on a Sunday. The union won't do it. They want no part of it. You got to beg to get it. You got to beg to go play on a day off for a rainout.
At first, the owners didn't want it because at the time when they originally did doubleheaders, you could get two games for the price of one.
Yeah.
Then they started clearing out the stadiums for the day-night doubleheader.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what it used to be, day-night double. It used to be back-to-back doubleheader, a half hour in between, 20 minutes usually actually in between. That's it.
Makes sense. But anyway.
I like the DH across – I want MLB to pick one.
Yeah.
Go with
I'm almost like you there.
Don't go with it. I don't care. Just pick something and go with it. It's ridiculous to have rosters made up differently in the National League as opposed to the American League.
I would agree with that. If they told me, Craig, we're going to make pitchers hit in both leagues, I'd be okay with that. I would. I would be okay with that. Mm-hmm. I want it uniform. It doesn't – we're not – Back when we were growing up, it was AL and NL. They were separate except for the All-Star game and the World Series. Now they're playing interleague play
every night of the year.
I can't stand it, and it really hampers the teams in the American League when they have in the playoffs specifically when they have to switch.
But make it the same either way.
You're geared towards your lineup a certain way all year, and then you're forced to change it in the seven most important games of the season. It's ridiculous to me that they do it that way. 239 says, 20-year-old here. I played T-ball as a kid, but I could never watch it. I remember my parents taking me to a miracle game for my 7th birthday. I cried until we left in the 5th. I almost want to cry whenever I attempt to watch baseball.
Oh.
I mean, I loved going to games when I was a kid. I didn't care. I wanted the games to last forever.
They can last 5 hours if you're there at the stadium. It's sitting on your couch, sitting through the commercials. That's the mm-hmm. difficult.
Yeah.
It's the difficult part.
Yep. Mm. And there's no question. Not only is there an age problem, a youth problem, there's a major, major marketing problem.
Well, it's both
Mike
sides.
Mike Trout can walk down the street in 95% of the countries in America, and nobody will know who he is.
It's both sides of it. The players' union doesn't help. They don't, by not allowing these guys to play doubleheaders or whatever. You've got two of the best hitters in the game, unsigned a week before mm-hmm. pitchers and catchers report to camp.
On the other hand, $400 million turns a lot of people off to begin with. So with $300 million. And I hope he doesn't get it because he doesn't deserve it.
I don't understand how this is an open market. There's no salary cap. There's no max contract here. You get what you're worth.
You get what you're worth. And if the market says you ain't worth $400, then you're not worth it.
Then you're not worth $400.
And he's not worth it. Well, I would never give him $400 million. No way.
The fact we're still talking about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado being unsigned, and this happened last offseason with J.D. Martinez and the Red Sox. They were flirting with each other for felt like 2 months.
Yep.
And then he signs, the day before spring training?
Right.
Hey, this would never happen in another sport.
Well, and part of the reason, I mean, how's that Albert Pujols contract working out? Remember, that was a big deal.
How about Bobby Bonilla?
I mean, he
still gets $1 million a year for the Mets. He still gets $1 million a year. I remember when Jim Rice signed his deal after the 78 season, I think, when he was MVP. Do you know when – I remember when the players were making $1 million a year. That was humongous.
Yeah.
And he was like the first to get two.
Yeah.
That was like out of like crazy nuts because a lot of baseball players – in the 60s and even into the early 70s and before that, obviously, had to work two jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of them were milkmen or they did mail or they did other stuff. They had two jobs.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Man. Also, regarding Bryce Harper, Aaron Judge made a comment the other day that he'd be willing to give up his position in right field in order to have Bryce Harper as a teammate with the Yankees. Where do you put Aaron Judge at that point? DH? Left field? I don't know. I don't know what you do with him. He's good and right.
I also think, and the Yankees proved this the last couple of years, I mean, the Red Sox had a DH, Seattle had a DH, a designated DH really all for a long time, like Martinez and Poppy. But those, the Yankees, they use 8 or 9 players every year as DH.
I think
that's the way the league is going.
I think Manny Machado makes more sense with the Yankees.
I do too, but didn't they sign a shortstop in the offseason too, didn't they?
Did they?
Who's the guy that was hurt from Toronto?
Yeah.
The Toronto paid him $42 million to go away, and then I think the Yankees signed him.
Yeah, the former Rocky, right?
Tulowitzki.
Yeah, Tulowitzki,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because Didi Gregorius is out for like the first half of the year. He had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
Wow. You can stick him at third, too. That's what's nice about Machado. You just could play the left side of the infield and then DH him once a week. Because Gary Sanchez, I think, that's a tough spot for the Yankees. I can't remember too many catchers to come into the league and perform at a high level for a long time. I mean, even a guy like Joe Mauer, where you needed his defense behind the plate.
Right.
You don't need the defense behind the plate for Sanchez. He's a terrible defensive catcher.
He's
awful.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know,
gets you 25 home runs.
But what you do need, and there are, it doesn't matter with Sanchez, it doesn't matter. There are a lot of pitchers out there who choose their catcher because of the way they call the game, balls and strikes. That's a big factor in a pitcher's comfort zone. A lot of pitchers.
Who is it? The Red Sox did it with Sandy Leon last year. He would always catch.
Oh,
was it David Price?
Yeah, I mean, that's been going on. There was, you know, back then, Wakefield always had his own catcher.
Well, Wakefield, I get the knuckleball catcher.
There's a lot of pitchers in Major League Baseball that have their guy.
No, I remember, I can go way back, this is not a new thing. I mean, Mark the Bird Fidrich would always throw to Bruce Kim. Who's ever heard of Bruce Kim?
Yeah.
I mean, he was like the third string catcher on the roster back in the day.
Yep.
But you get a comfort zone, you're right.
Yeah, it happens. There was a time with the Texas Rangers, a catcher. They would play Gino Petralli. The only time they played him is when they played Clemens because he whacked the crap out of him for some reason. He was like a nemesis. But again, you talk about guys calling games, and it's a huge factor in who's behind the plate. It psychologically impacts a lot of pitchers for some reason.
Going back to these rules, I think that there's ways to fix the viewership problem with the younger generations. There's a way to fix that other than putting in hokey rules like you have to face three straight
to
batters.
Me, the biggest thing, you want to fix it right away or have a, I think, is put a 20-second and enforce it. In the batter's box and on the pitcher's mound, 20 seconds, that's all you have. There's no reason why it should take any longer than that.
Yeah.
With that. I don't understand why that, and again, they've been doing that in the minors and in college baseball. Yeah. Start with that.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776. Speaking of catchers, did you ever catch in Little League?
No, I was pitcher shortstop.
I did it for a couple of games. It's scary back there, man. Did you like it? I didn't like it.
I didn't mind it.
I was scared to death. I mean, I got all this gear on. I got this ball humming down. I'm not
kind of
comfortable crouching.
Have?
What?
Fastball, curveball, changeup. 1, 2, 3, 4.
This might
just
have
throw
been
it over the plate.
Is that question going anywhere? Or you just wanted to know if we'd ever
just
played catcher in Little League before?
Yeah, I just want to know if you ever caught Little League. I did.
I didn't.
I played all 9 positions in Little League, mostly outfield.
You pitched?
A couple innings.
Hey. I only played 2. Most of my...
I had a rough outing. My first baseman, I had a pop fly for the third out. I thought I was going to get out of the inning. Bases were loaded.
Error.
And the first baseman comes running into me on the mound. I called it. What's pop fly. Knocks the ball down.
Whoa, get out of the way. It's the first baseman's ball.
I'm on the mound.
Doesn't
and it
matter.
Was right to me. It was a
get
can of corn.
Out of the way.
No.
It's the first baseman's call. Yes, he directs traffic
it.
On that. But
I'm
no.
The pitcher.
No, you were ill-taught.
It's a cob of corn.
You were ill. No, can of corn.
Cob of corn from last week.
Oh, yeah, Mexican cob of corn.
So anyway, we dropped a ball, and then whoever picked it up threw it into the outfield, and all 3 runs scored. Yeah. So now my ER, well, those were unearned runs.
Unearned.
Unearned runs.
I'm with you.
But it's your error.
I disagree. The ball landed in my glove. He knocked it out, and it was inning. I mean, I think I faced 9 batters that inning.
I lost a playoff game when I was 11 because we gave up 8 unearned runs.
Wow.
14 runs total, 8 of them unearned.
Were any your fault?
I was on the mound for four innings, and eight of them were unearned. And we were 12-2.
Yeah,
blew through our first playoff game, and Johnny didn't get pitch, and at that time you could only pitch three innings at a time.
Yeah,
and or six innings per week. So they saved me for. And we started off great. There was no score. We were up 2-0, I guess, in the third inning. And then I remember it like it was all of a sudden our great out just dropped every ball. Every single ball was dropped. I mean, routine can of corn fly balls, ball through the shortstop, leg ball. I'm going, okay. Yeah. Look, I keep the ball in play.
Is there any better feeling than striking out one of your friends when they come up to the plate, you know, that you see in school every day?
Yeah. No, I had one of my friends. I made him laugh when he was pitching.
Yeah.
Bulk.
Oh, really?
That was a good little thing. My last pitch ever wasn't a pitcher. Learned this. Don't throw a changeup over the plate on an 0-2.
Yeah.
Home run.
Yeah.
Three-run shot.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well,
righty,
I never
lefty.
Gave up a home run.
It was a terrible matchup.
I gave up one home run.
Matchup.
You just grooved it.
Got to throw something in the dirt right there. Make him chase on an 0-2. The lessons you learn when you're 12.
My great Little League Babe Ruth and senior Babe Ruth years. 8 years, one home run. But I got picked off at first base by a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. That was freaking embarrassing. I'd never lived that down.
The walk of shame back to the dugout.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was so stupid. It was a great move by him. Bad, bad, bad concentration by me.
239 agrees with you, Pete. E1 on my play. 606 says I was a third baseman, a center fielder. I said I had a pretty good arm, but I couldn't stand playing catcher. Very claustrophobic. He's with Craig on that one. I agree. You feel very claustrophobic with all that.
I think if you're a Little League catcher, you either love it or you hate it.
I hated it.
A lot of kids wanted to do it.
No, I found, and then also when I was a coach later on for my daughter's softball, nobody wanted to catch. Everybody was afraid to get back there.
But nobody wanted to stick there. Anybody, but then you get the kids that get stuck in right field.
Well, that was pretty much
talk about Craig that.
That was pretty much my option when I decided to try catch.
You're like small. You're like Smalls in the Sandlot. Finally, he couldn't throw. He's like, just stick your glove out, and Benny says, "I'll hit it to you." And he just closes his eyes.
It's either the outfield or
pretend like you're throwing a newspaper.
Yeah,
that's Craig.
Yeah,
he's all right.
Craig, that's your life, the Sandlot.
Did you have a hat
grows
like that?
Grows up to be a radio announcer for the Dodgers.
That's right. That's right. The Jets stole home.
You're Smalls.
Yeah.
You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That's pretty good.
We're going to have s'mores at our cookout. Some more what?
Some more of what?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh, that's good. All right. I'll tell you what. More of your reaction to 239-337.
That is
ESPN.
The most underrated sports movie of all time.
Yeah. Don't forget to.
Ooh, that's a fun conversation.
Yep. Underrated sports movies of all time.
Yeah.
It is.
We'll be doing that.
Yeah, so. It is. And you can't, it's not like Hoosiers or Rudy or Rocky. Those are.
No, those are
not,
all those time.
Aren't,
yeah.
Those aren't, well, first of all, those aren't underrated. I think most people
that's what
would
I mean.
Enjoy
that's
those.
They can't be in that. They can't be in that
We're
category.
Talking under the radar, any under given radar. Sunday, great movies.
Yeah. So I can watch anytime Sandlot's on. Doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah.
Goon.
I love when James Earl Jones, when they finally meet him, the neighbor, when the ball goes, he's just like, George signed this. I take it back. You're not in trouble. You're dead where you stand. He finds out a dog drooled all over it. Oh, man.
All right, 239-337-ESPN is the number. Got a $50 gift card for Ace Hardware later in the show. More of your phone calls, hit us up on our Twitter poll, our Twin Peaks Twitter feed, and like us on Facebook. We got a lot going on. Still going to tell you, Bob Stoops back in football. We'll talk some college football, too, with today being another signing day. Part 2.0. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. If you got a kid and a kid likes to fish, then you need to listen to this. You need to be all part of our Southwest Florida Junior Anglers Championship. It's March 2nd. It's coming up. And go to our website at 993ESPN.com. Get you, your kids all registered. $75 per angler. Up to $5,000 cash prize available. Couple snapper, couple trout. Weigh them. You weigh the most. Boom! Cash. Cash on the spot. Not a check. not a cashier's check like Nick Foles had to write to the Eagles to get him buy himself out of the contract. Cash right there. And we'll all be there to watch it. So it's a good deal. Check it out. Go to our website. Get yourself registered for it right now. All right. I want to hear Bob Stoops. Chris told me that Bob Stoops is back in football. I didn't actually see the story. He's on the phone right now. We're going to get to the latest here. But so we've got football this weekend, you know. We've got the AAF? No, what do they call it? The American
Football. You nailed football. It. The AAF. The Alliance.
The AAF. Yeah. There's a team in Orlando with Steve Spurrier. I mean, they're starting this weekend. Then starting next year, the XFL 2.0 coming back. Now, Bob Stoops, is he going to be part of the XFL? Is that what? Because you just kind of threw that in my ear going into break. So what's going on? Bob Stoops is back in football?
This is Pro Football Talk.
Okay. Let's
Mike Florio posted this.
All right.
On Thursday, the coach and general manager of the Dallas franchise will be introduced.
We're going to get Spurrier on.
We will. I'm working on it.
It will be former Oklahoma head coach Bob Stoops.
Wait a minute. He's coaching and GM?
Why not?
Here is the sentence from the story.
Why not?
Because he didn't want to do coaching anymore because he was afraid of his health.
Expect the coach GM of the Dallas franchise to be former Oklahoma coach, Bob Stoops.
If you're Bob Stoops and you want to get back into coaching, but you left Oklahoma, one of the primo jobs of college football, because you didn't want to die of a heart attack like your dad did at age 56.
Sorry, that's XFL.
Okay. So it's going to be another year. But why do you choose this as your comeback? Is it because it's a short season, not as much stress? I could see Bob Stoops coming back as a GM, but GM and coach? Huh.
Money talks.
I know money talks, but I mean, he can't be making. First of all, I don't think they're paying that much money in the XFL. He ain't making. What do you walk away from at Oklahoma? $6 million a year?
Not when he can name the, all but four schools would fire the coach they have right now to get him as their head coach.
Yeah. This makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, everybody except Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma? I mean, would they get rid of Lincoln Riley to get Bob Stoops? I don't know. I mean, that's two schools. Georgia?
I'm on the page right now. Why don't they have the schedule up, like, right on the main part? So ridiculous. They've got two games that are happening Saturday.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
CBS, Saturday night.
Maybe they don't have their act together. Do we know what those two? We don't know what those two games are.
Yeah, I'm trying to go by because the stupid helmet logos, which I can't decipher. So one is a San Diego Fleet.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I just helmet doesn't look familiar to me. The other game is I can't even tell. Something with the Legends. Where are they from?
I don't know which ones are Legends. We don't know the team. This is bad marketing on their part. And we're ground zero for their demographic.
The Alliance's eight teams will open to the inaugural 10-game season at 8 o'clock on CBS. The Atlanta Legends will visit the Orlando Apollos, and the San Diego Fleet will return to play the Commanders in San Antonio, the city where all eight teams participate in training camp from January 4th through the 31st. Now, do you remember seeing any cameras out there for training camp?
No.
None?
No.
I don't remember anything. Did anyone cover this?
No, this is not a good rollout. I mean, it's not a good rollout.
The following day, CBS Sports Network will feature the Memphis Express at Birmingham at 4, followed by the Arizona Hotshots hosting the Salt Lake Stallions on NFL Network at 8. But anyway, Orlando plays. We're going to root for Orlando, right? The local team?
Yeah, that's the Spurrier team.
That's Spurrier
team. That's where we want Tebow to come back when he gets cut by the Mets.
You mean called up?
Or both, yeah.
By the way, Tebow is starting spring training in the Major League camp.
Remember, Mike Martz is coaching the San Diego team.
All offense and no defense. Tell you that right now. He was the coach of the greatest show on turf. Then he went to the Lions and failed miserably.
Memphis being coached by Mike Singletary, who found the time over the weekend to partake in the Super Bowl activities in Atlanta.
Commercial
Steve
was
awesome. Spurrier, obviously.
Football! Yeah. Hey, somebody brought up a good point today on Love Track. Why was Aaron Rodgers not in that commercial? I mean, that was like who's who of football royalty for the last six decades.
I found the schedule way down.
Was Aaron Rodgers the who's who of NFL royalty? I mean,
how many times do we talk about he and Brady, one and two, and then everybody else, right? Other than the rings part.
So it's eight. So here's a schedule.
I mean, Peyton was in it, right?
Yeah, Peyton was in it.
So you got Peyton kind of from this era?
Yeah. They also then got off on a tangent, which I thought was quite humorous. Well, if we're doing kind of like the history of the NFL in 2 minutes, we should have had OJ, Tim Tebow, and who was the third person they mentioned? That would have been hilarious.
Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. You can't tell the story of the NFL without OJ, Colin Kaepernick, and Tim Tebow. That was pretty good.
Well, I got the whole schedule, so. Again, so four games on this weekend.
Is it an eight-week schedule?
Ten.
Does everybody play each other twice? Is that how it works? A little round-robin?
Tiny second. I'm sure it is. So the first we get Atlanta at Orlando. That's the first game. The Steve Spurrier game. 8 o'clock on regular CBS. San Diego at San Antonio. It also says CBS, but...
Doubleheader.
Got to be on CBS Sports Network. Got to be.
Doubleheader, maybe.
Well, listen, they took their most marketable guy, Steve Spurrier.
You're right.
And they're putting him on CBS, and they're trying to get some people fired up about it.
But are you talking about you're going to split the country up? Atlanta at Orlando is on CBS. It's a San Diego at San Antonio CBS. And then Sunday at 4, though both of these other games are at 8 o'clock. Then Memphis at Birmingham Sunday, February 10th at 4 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. And then at 8 o'clock, Salt Lake at Arizona. That's on NFL Network. So I don't understand.
Salt Lake got a team, huh?
Yeah.
Good for them.
A lot to do there after the game.
That's news to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, those games are in different time zones, though, right?
No. They're both. It says Atlanta at Orlando. No, Atlanta at Orlando. It is at 8 o'clock. And San Diego at San Antonio also at 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Eastern. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then. Okay.
Both on CBS. So they're going to.
Maybe they're going to go back and forth.
It's going to be regional, just like the NFL is. First two games are regional.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't think that makes sense. I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, because you're not going to get any West Coasters watching.
Right.
Who does Orlando play? Birmingham?
Yeah, San Diego.
Or Atlanta.
San Diego's at San Antonio, and Atlanta's at Orlando.
Yeah, so now
people in San Antonio don't care about Orlando.
Yeah, now you. Yeah.
If you're just starting out, this is your first crack, you got to get some regional interest. I think that's a smart play.
Check the geographical boxes.
Yeah, that's a heady play there. All right.
Will you watch?
I'm definitely watching. I'm absolutely going to watch.
Out of curiosity, I'll check some of it out. We'll see if I'm locked in for 3 hours.
Because I'm not. This is college basketball season and NBA time.
Here's the thing. Saturday night, I don't need to
watch preseason football, which is what this will be.
Well, but I always go through football withdrawal the week after the Super Bowl. Always. I'm always looking
for it. More upset this weekend that Tiger Woods isn't playing at Torrey Pines than I am that football's gone.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. Sorry.
All right. Well, I'd be curious also. I mean, you're a bit of a younger demographic. I wonder if that's how the rest of the country will flow. I'm serious. I'm serious.
Saturday night, you will not be able to pull me away from Duke, Virginia.
Yeah.
If you want
to. That game was great the first time around at Cameron. Yeah. Now it's at Virginia. I want to see Duke in a big time game on the. I'm in college basketball mode right now.
Wait a minute. You're not going to miss Duke, Virginia. What if the wife says you got to do something? Because your last words to her during the Super Bowl was, "Hey, babe, I'm not folding the laundry because this is the last football game for 6 months." And she was all right, whatever. Now the following week, you're going to throw in her face, "Hey, babe, it's Duke basketball.
I got plans. I got plans. Saturday, doing family stuff." During the day, so Saturday night, I've got the out of, I can't, this is work. I got to watch 2 vs. 3.
Heady,
ridiculous.
Heady play.
All right, Orlando,
I'm playing golf Sunday morning.
Listen to this. Orlando Apollos at Atlanta Legends. That's Saturday, February 9th, 8 p.m. at Spectrum Stadium in Orlando. Ticket prices are as high as $220. Who's paying for that? You can get $20 seats up to $220. The general admission seats, which are in back of the north end zone. One of the end zones, way in the back, are $20 admission seats. And the prices at midfield are $200. Who's paying $220 for this?
I would not pay $200 for it. I would not. By the way, is Orlando, they're playing in Central Florida Stadium? Okay.
Yeah. Right? They're playing at Spectrum Stadium.
Yeah.
Spectrum is on the campus of UCF. Yeah, not the Orange Bowl.
No. Right, right.
Or the, not the Orange Bowl, geez, the Camping World Stadium.
Right.
Citrus Bowl.
Okay.
Children under two don't need a ticket. Good news.
Wow. Yep. But we know how Pete feels about bringing a...
I don't think a two-year-old should be at a football game.
I don't think two-year-olds would enjoy the football game either, to be honest.
They shouldn't be. Or any game, for that matter.
Pete's an anti-kid.
No, I just don't think an infant. I don't think really kids
two's under, not an infant.
Under nope. eight. I don't think kids under seven really belong at sporting events.
Got to get them young, Pete. Got to get them hooked up. Because by the time they're eight, they've already made their choices. Yeah. They're playing Fortnite, and they could care less about
they weren't
about
as well-behaved as you were. They need bouncy houses. They need Chuck E. Cheese in the stands. They
fact,
need, they need
all
they
factual.
Everything, to, yeah. that, everything yeah. besides watching the game, which is the reason why you want them to grow, is to watch the game. But a two-year-old doesn't care where you, a two-year-old doesn't care about. Not going to remember being at the game or not.
Wants to see his dad throw 80 in that little simulator that they have at all the spring training games.
Watch this goober dad and 48-year-old dad with a glove at a baseball game.
Oh, gosh.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Loosen the old cannon up.
Loosen it up.
a little long toss to get.
I think if I fired some long toss, I'd need Tommy John surgery pretty quick. Chris, you said you're playing golf Sunday? I thought you kind of don't play
golf
this time of year due to the the influx of people and the price increases.
Yeah, I haven't played in 3 weeks. It's about once a month I'll get out there.
Going through
just
withdrawal.
To, keep the skills nice and sharp.
Played Sunday, too.
All right.
The boat actions. My weekend's already planned already. Done.
You're boating, too?
Boating.
It's not surprising.
What? Boating on Saturday.
Gatsby's
doing
a
dueling piano bar event on Saturday night. Should be fun.
Wait a minute. Boating Saturday, dueling piano bar Saturday night, golfing Sunday morning.
So Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty – and then mix in with some new AAF football.
Yeah, I'll DVR
it. Your weekend is locked
in. I'll DVR
the Alliance.
Alliance of American football. Did I get it right?
I think just the Alliance is
the Alliance.
Short. It's to the point. You know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're not talking about an actual alliance between two people in Survivor or something.
An accord.
Right.
Well, I'm interested to see. First of all, I'm really interested to see the hitting. I think the play calling, you're going to see a lot of trick plays. I think you're going to see a lot of imagination. I think it's going to be pretty. I hope it's pretty cool.
Does ESPN SportsCenter lead with it?
No way. It's not an ESPN entity.
No way.
We've got college hoops on Saturday. Yep. We've got NBA stuff that
right?
we'll still be
new,
talking about.
God forbid that whoever's new someplace. Look at this.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that's how they're going to get on America's consciousness. They got to be top 10 plays of the week. They got to be front and center. Scott Van Pelt's got to come on and say, best thing I saw today. That's how they're going to succeed. If they don't. If we're leading with the Duke, Virginia, and all that, I mean, they're going to struggle to get
by. Yeah, because why would we lead with number two at number three?
I agree. I mean, that's what we are going to lead with.
My sports calendar is set. It is.
It's like Pete's weekend. It's
down to the week. Well, like
I'm with you, Chris. I'm kind of with you with this.
It's you know what? I've done 5 months of football. Mm-hmm. I love football.
Yeah.
I'm all in for the draft.
Right.
But I'm all in on my football. College and NFL. I don't care about the Alliance.
Yeah,
but you might, though. See, I felt that way about the USFL back in the day. I had no desire.
But here's why I love the USFL. For the first time in my life, the team from Michigan, the pro football team from Michigan, was good and won championships with Bobby Hebert. I had a reason to watch every week. The Michigan Panthers were awesome.
The Michigan Panthers?
Yes.
We had the Boston Breakers.
Ooh.
I think they played at Nickerson Field on the campus of Boston University. And
we played in the Silver Dome. I mean, it was legit. It was awesome.
Do you have any members?
It doesn't do it for me.
That stuff is worth. But they and this was with name play. We're talking about Jim Kelly's, Doug Flutie's, Herschel Walker's.
Yeah, nobody's giving up
Donald
their
Trump.
NFL contract.
But they were paid. They were getting paid higher than NFL players.
Herschel Walker made more money playing for Donald Trump's New York/New Jersey Generals.
I had no desire to watch it back then. Very little to watch it back then. But I do. Have a desire to see how this is going to be.
This is the time of the year I really dive feet first into the college basketball pool, and my toes dipped in the NBA pool. My whole foot might be in there by the end of the week.
Yeah,
I start getting ready for my basketball stuff now. Then we'll start paying attention to baseball once basketball has kind of shut the door on their season. And then we're on to football. Like, it's a very normal, with a little bit of golf sprinkled in the summer as well.
606 says, I'm with Craig. I was into sports since I was two. High school and Kentucky football and basketball games. I did watch the game by 4 years old. If I hadn't, I wouldn't be so into sports right now.
I agree, but we're a different breed. I agree with you.
But under your rules, this 606 would not be allowed to go to games. Under the Pete Shepard rule.
No, I think you could tell, but not a two-year-old, all right? I'll even grant you, a six-year-old does not belong at an NFL game.
He said
game.
At four he was hooked.
I know, but bringing a four-year-old, very few exceptions to a baseball game. Nowadays, you can't. I don't know any four-year-olds that would survive a baseball game today.
Must have balled Pete up last year.
It miserable for the parents who cannot watch the game. They have all these stadiums, particularly baseball, have little playhouses set up.
Yeah,
because their kids entertained.
Frankly, I need a break. Oh, come on, son, let's go play in the circus over here.
Brought my 2-year-old to a Yankees Red Sox spring training game last year.
I was there with you.
Second row, right behind home plate.
Yeah, three innings, right?
No, you didn't last three innings.
Yeah, you listened to three innings.
About three innings. Yeah. I mean, we walked around for two of them, but yeah.
Walked for two of the three.
But you know what it was, Pete? It was a memory.
Yeah. Does your son remember that now, if you were to ask
him
today?
No, it was a memory for me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, from the early spectrum of sports to the other end of the spectrum, I've got an obituary for you involving sports when we come back. It is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
They have their fingers on the pulse of the sports world. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Yeah, exactly.
On 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Coming up in a bit, we'll update our Twin Peaks Twitter feed. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, doing Facebook Live every day as well. And also, did I mention the $50 Ace Hardware gift certificate?
At some point.
So we'll give that away in just a little bit as well. All right, so going into the segment or into the break, we were talking about whether you take little kids to games and whatnot. There's the other end of the spectrum, a guy that's been a fan his whole life, for example. Recently passed away, and his obituary took a swipe at Super Bowl 53. It's very timely. Of course, Saints fans are still bitter at being denied a chance to play in Super Bowl 53.
Is that the last football game he saw?
Didn't quite make it, Chris.
Oh no.
The guy, his name is Henry Jommy Sr., 65-year-old Saints fan, died Sunday afternoon. So before kickoff, but he wasn't going to watch anyway because he was so upset that his Saints were in it. And so his family had already pre-written the obituary and it went out. And
wait, so the last game he watched was the
Saints getting robbed going to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And the obituary said that he was determined not to watch the Super Bowl, obviously to the point of where he died before kickoff.
Oh, my gosh.
His life ended before kickoff. It was not hell or high water, or however you want to phrase it. He was not watching the Super Bowl.
There was a gentleman, I think he was about 88, that passed right after Adam Vinatieri kicked the game winner at the Snow Bowl in 2002. Dropped dead right there, had a heart attack and died. At the stadium, in the stands.
With joy?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, with joy. Big Patriot fan. It was a big story back then. But
that's crazy because Craig and I were having this conversation the other day how I'm cool to go.
Yeah.
I just don't want to suffer when I go.
Right, right.
So, like, we were saying, like, yeah, like, just take me when I'm going to sleep, when I'm asleep.
Yeah,
and
that's the best way to go in your sleep.
Great. Would you rather go in your sleep or, like, at a stadium when your team just kicked the field goal to go to the Super Bowl? Or, like, would it, for a Lions fan, would that hurt even more?
See, I picture
that
Chris.
They're going to go to the Super Bowl, but you just croaked.
Well, let's think this out on a different level. Let's say I die at the Super Bowl when the Lions kick the winning field goal. Okay, I'm going to be feeling euphoria.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're happy.
And in theory, if the afterworld goes the way that I think my faith teaches me, yep. I'll go straight from euphoria on earth to euphoria in heaven, right? It'd be a seamless transition.
I don't know. It's just a guy.
I picture Chris. You
but
know,
I wouldn't be around to gloat and call Pete and tell him the Patriots suck.
Yes.
Because I'll still be alive. My team will still be winning Super Bowl.
Picture of health.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if we beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, all the better. If I don't get the opportunity to gloat, I'm gonna feel gypped.
I cannot help but picture the Sam Neill scene in Jurassic Park in the beginning with the little chubby kid being disrespectful. And he goes, and the Velociraptor takes that claw and slashes you here and wow. here. The point is,
violence.
You are alive when they begin to eat you. So I picture Chris, I don't wish this on Augusta, having the round of his life and hits a ball too close. I don't know. Some one of the great ponds over there. And in the middle of his backswing, some giant alligator comes up and seizes him.
Just takes me out.
Takes him out.
Kind of reminiscent of the scene in Caddyshack where the priest hits the hole in one and then lightning kills him right then
no,
and there.
No, didn't kill him. Didn't kill him.
Oh, it didn't?
No,
misremembered.
Remember, afterwards, he's sitting at the bar.
Oh, I thought he died. Okay.
My name's Sam. I'm a man just like you.
It's that golf movie with Matt Damon and Will Smith. What is that?
Bagger Vance.
Bagger Vance, yes. Yeah.
Yep.
What a way to go.
He's like, for God's sake, Bishop, there is no God. Have to get hit by lightning.
Wow. All
right. That is a class. The heavy stuff's going to come down for a while.
May have to do a show on that someday during slow season. Best way to go as a sports fan.
It's pretty slow today.
No.
That's all I'll say.
All right. We still haven't gotten to some of these flips in college football. We could talk about that as well.
Also, the top free agents at the top, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and some very, very interesting names that, and some very good players are about to change teams, no doubt about it.
All right, let's do all that. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the ESPN app.